And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of February 7th, 2021. Today, we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well, and I'm looking forward to talking about GM's big announcement, how to move toward electric vehicles, what will it take, and to borrow Ted's phrase, we're going to do a Gedanken experiment about the future of all EVs and what that might look like. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So, Mariah, the future is bearing down upon us like a freight train or maybe like an electric vehicle. This past week, General Motors, right, GM, the used to be the biggest automaker in the world, right? Had the, with Chevrolet, Chrysler, Buick, all those things with GM cars. Now they're all just GM cars. But GM, huge automotive company, has declared that they will sell only electric vehicles by the year 2035, which I think if you're a behemoth like GM, isn't really that far away, right? So did you see that, Mariah?
Yeah, that's big news.
Big news. It's big news. And of course, the question turns on why would a manufacturing corporate behemoth like GM commit to doing something as remarkable as changing their fundamental technology of 120 years of technology for the internal combustion engine? Why would they commit to changing that the week after President Biden signed executive orders saying that we're all going to start moving in a new direction? Do you have any, Mariah, let me ask you, what's your sense as to why GM would make this move?
I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled that they're making this move. I think every step we take towards reducing fossil fuel emissions is a really great step, hurrah. But I mean, I also, they're sort of being touted as these, you know, great heroes. Yay, GM, good leaders. But at the same time, I'm like, well, it just makes good business sense at this point, right? The rest, you know, China, Europe, they're all moving towards electric vehicles and have made big statements as such. And so the United States is just, we've just been left behind because we keep, you know, sort of pulling back on our CAFE standards and these different things that allow, you know, making more cars that still pollute. And that's just hurting us in terms of competitiveness. So I'm glad that they're making a statement for electric vehicles, but I also think that they don't have a choice. They're going to get left in the dust if they don't.
So you would say, why didn't they do it sooner?
Yeah. I mean, right. Didn't they fall behind? Tesla became the leading auto manufacturer at some point, didn't it?
There was a quote, I mean, that Tesla is worth more than Ford, GM, and Toyota combined.
Yeah.
Some huge thing.
Right. And that, you know, they're all electric. All of Tesla's cars are electric. So, you know, other car manufacturers have to take a page from Tesla. That's what people want at this point.
It's just remarkable. The movie, you may remember, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Right.
Like GM had an electric car in 1999, and they collected them all and put them in a crusher, right?
Wasn't it earlier than that? Wasn't it like
could have been
early, like 1950s or something like that?
Oh, maybe. Well, the one I'm thinking of was 1990.
Yeah, yeah. But they had, I think you're right.
Yeah, from my perspective, it seems as if the timing of GM's announcement certainly seems to have been facilitated by the Biden commitment to climate issues. But I also read somewhere that China, which is a huge market for GM cars, right? China has already committed to being primarily electric vehicles by 2035.
Right.
So one of the big markets for GM is already going that way. So GM has no choice, as you say. I mean, that's just the handwriting on the wall. And they were saying that China, for better or worse, and I don't know if it'll stay this way, but they pretty much own the battery technology industry. Right? If you want a car battery, it's probably going to be made in China. I mean, I hate to say that, but them's the facts. And that's where everything's going. And GM needs to get aligned with those suppliers. And they're, again, China's on this 2035 kind of schedule. So I think it's a, but I guess the other fallout that we should just note is that during the unlamented period of the previous administration, there were efforts to undo the California. So Obama had made an agreement with the oil, with the car companies to get to 56 mile per gallon fleet average by, I don't know, 2025 or something. The next president, who we won't say his name, came in and tried to flush all that away. Half of the companies, the automakers, sided with California to try. California, as you remember, has its own ability to set mileage standards. So half of the companies said, we're going to stay with California. GM, Toyota, Ford went with the previous administration and tried to reduce the mileage standards. And then as soon as the new boss, new sheriff rides into town, in the form of President Biden, GM changes him, changes itself around and commits to fully electric. And suddenly Toyota, Fiat, and all those other companies are going to drop their opposition or drop their support of the Trump plan, which makes it much easier for the Biden administration to get aggressive automotive mileage standards in place long before 2035, right? I think it's 2025 is when the, so there's things moving in the automobile industry since the arrival of President Biden that are good things. But GM's commitment to electric vehicles, millions and millions of electric vehicles, is a big, will have a big impact on the market, right, if they follow through.
Certainly.
So that begs the following question, Mariah. If all the cars are electric, how is the electric grid going to change, right? And we can, I can start us talking through that list of things if you want. What, yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious. So there's an article in the New York Times by Brad Plummer, who makes a nice little list. And what he says is, well, duh, if you're going to have electric vehicles everywhere, you have to have charging stations everywhere. So the charging technology has got to go. And it has to be, as they say, ubiquitous, right? It has to be like going to Joe's gas station to tank up, right? It's got to be everywhere because people are driving everywhere, right?
Yep. Yeah, you got to have more places to plug in.
Got to have more places to plug in. And that also begs for the other thing that is implicit in having electric vehicles is that you're going to need lots more electricity. That is to say, if you want to keep all the lights on just the way they are now, and you want to basically take gasoline out of the equation and have all the cars moving with electricity, you need to, I don't know, double the amount of electricity, raw power that you're producing.
Because it's all going to get 25% more, I think.
Okay, 25% more power, which is no small thing that they need to somehow produce. And of course, presumably that all, extra power all has to be green, right?
Yeah. I mean, at least eventually, right? It might not be at the get-go, but you want it to eventually be transitioned to 100% renewable.
Right, which is the Biden plan by 2035 to have not just all the existing power be green, but everything new, all the additional power. The other thing that's interesting is that if electric vehicles are parked everywhere, then the grid has to change. And it's as simple as the things like, if everyone in your neighborhood has an electric vehicle and they all drive home at 5 o'clock and plug their vehicle into charge, it turns out, Mariah, you would know better than I this particular kind of thing, but I think an electric vehicle is roughly the equivalent of the power demand of a home, right? So it takes a lot of power. So if you magically at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when people get home, double the number of houses in your neighborhood by doubling the demand, then the substation up at the end of the street might burst into flames because it can't put out enough power to do all the houses and all the charging, right?
Yeah, right. So you kind of have to, it's like it, you almost need a system with your neighbor where you can be like, okay, I'm going to charge from 5 to 6, and then you charge from 6 to 7, and you charge from 7 to 8, you know? I mean, of course, the other side of that is that you could charge at night when you don't have other things going, right? You don't have the lights on. You don't, maybe the, you know, air conditioning or the heat is a little bit lower, or you're not running a dishwasher or whatever it is, you know? So there, that does solve some of the problem, is that a lot of the electric vehicles would be charged overnight.
And that points you at the idea that somehow the utility is going to have to manage the time at which manage the demand so that the electric vehicles can only charge at night. And maybe somehow you have to pay extra for electricity if you want to charge during the day to sort of encourage people to charge overnight. Right.
Right.
All this sort of
peak demand kind of costs more during peak hours.
Right. Exactly. And so again, the grid has to accommodate this increased electrical load with this demand for electric vehicles that will be slowly growing. And, you know, 2035 is not that far away in terms of changing a national electricity grid. I mean, it takes a lot of work and a lot of planning to do that kind of thing. And of course, the final thing that Brad Plummer points out is that ultimately all this electricity, including the new extra increment, the extra 25% we need for the cars, all has to be green. So that's just more solar panels and wind turbines out there, right?
Right.
Right. Yep. So,
right. It doesn't serve us well to have electric vehicles if they're still running off of fossil fuels.
Right.
To power the grid.
So this is where then I start to bump into poverty of imagination, I guess, is the idea. The current move to go to all electric vehicles is essentially a linear extrapolation of the present into the future, right? And Albert Einstein used to do experiments in 1910. They were called Gedanken experiments. I don't know if you ever heard the phrase, right? Gedanken, yeah. I think, is some kind of German for a thought experiment, right? And he would... famous stories about Gedanken experiments. But let's do it. A Gedanken experiment would be to say, what if you could magically turn every car into an electric vehicle, right? What would that be the world you want to live in? Is that the future we want to be building? And I guess I'd submit that if we just change all of our cars to electric cars, then we're still going to have highway congestion. We're still going to have suburban sprawl. We'll have malls chewing up green grass. We'll have McMansions everywhere, right? Is that the world we want? And is that the world that, or do we have to worry about it right now? I mean, by 2035, I'm sure everyone's going to have a scooter to drive, an electric scooter, right? Things are going to be different. What do you see as a, Is the future automobile-centric the way the 1960s were?
I mean, I think that, you know, the point I see that's kind of here is, you think back to when, how did we get into the mess we're in? Well, riding horses, and the horses were going to the bathroom all over the streets, and they needed a solution to that because, you know, that was smelly and messy and unsanitary, whatever. So, the car was invented running off of gasoline. Great. Now we don't have a problem with the horse manure everywhere. Well, but instead we inherited a problem with fossil fuel pollution, right? So you don't want to get into a whole other transportation mode, meaning electric vehicles, and find that it really has created more problems or it hasn't solved the original problem. And I absolutely agree with that. And I think that a failure to imagine is definitely something that we need to think about. You know, what should the future look like? How could we not just make better what we have, but actually reimagine something that will solve a lot of the problems we're contending with? Because as you said, you know, just everyone driving electric vehicles still gives us a rush hour.
Right. I mean, you think we talked several shows ago about the throat, in quotation marks, the Massachusetts Turnpike down near Boston University, right, where there's this big debate about how many lanes to build in. If they build that, it's going to be 8 lanes in the year 2035 with the presumption there's going to all electric vehicles banging back and forth.
Yeah.
Is that the world you want, right? I think it's an open question, right? It's not one that's easy to solve, but it's one that we're at the precipice of just being able to see, right? I mean, I think that by 2035, you'll have little golf cart size things that you're driving around if you're driving around in a city at all, right? Unlikely to have a a Hummer trying to drive through downtown Boston. Or maybe we'll all be on Segways. Or maybe we'll have electric moving sidewalks that carry us from one place to another. Yeah. Sort of like, I don't know.
George Jetson vehicles that we sail around in the air and crash into each other.
It's interesting, though. I think it seems to me, I don't know if you agree, but it seems like all the talk about autonomous vehicles is kind of dried up, right? Have you seen it? I mean, are there any, are we any closer to autonomous vehicles? All of a sudden, it's like, well, no, everyone.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm sure they're still working on it, right? They must be still working on it.
But. I'm sure someone is somewhere. Yeah. But it's you see these pictures of streets in Madrid or Paris, France, right? So the mayor of Paris, Hidalgo, I think her name is, she basically is on this campaign to cut cars out of basically downtown Paris, has had great success. And you see these videos of where it was 5 years ago with cars all backed up, and now people walking, biking, smoking their Galois, drinking espresso coffee, wearing little berets and stuff, having all kinds of wonderful romantic times.
We've seen a little bit of that from the pandemic, right? A lot of the cars have been off the roads and people have been enjoying sort of taking back that space.
That's right. I mean, look at Memorial Drive. They want to keep Memorial Drive closed more because it's such a nice place for those poor humans on their feet to be. Anyway, I think that the future electric vehicles are great. We have to go that way because someone will need to drive. But the auto, the non-auto centric future is still to be defined. Right, Mariah?
It's true.
But you know what? We're going to talk about it until 2035. That's the plan.
We got time. Keep our eye
on this going forward. Anyway, if you have any ideas about what the future would look like with electric vehicles everywhere, send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. We will set up links to what we talked about in the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can listen to the show on your smartphone. Please tell your friends to listen to it on their smartphones, on all the distribution apps they're probably already familiar with. I want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support that keeps us thinking about new things. We want to close where we always close by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Mariah, thank you so much for being here.
Always a treat.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.